Hello and welcome back to Simply Serie A, the Italian football podcast brought to you by AMS Media. My God, it has been a while. It's been far too long since our last episode, and I'm pleased to be joined once again by a fountain of Italian football knowledge, the one and only Vittorio Campanile. Welcome back to the show, mate. How have you been? It's been such a long time.
Yeah, it has been a long time. But yeah, I mean, Serie A is quite interesting this year, I said, compared to last season. It's a much more interesting competition, not only fighting for the Scudetto, but even the Champions League position. There's a big fight. I guess we're going to talk about all the big teams, Milan coming back. So, yeah, I think it's an exciting season.
Absolutely. It's far more exciting than the Premier League anyway, which has seemingly been won already by Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool. But there were some really, really big games this weekend, and it felt like the perfect week to get back into the swing of things and bringing you guys the podcast. I'm going to start off with the game between, well, it was Sunday, wasn't it, that all the big games took place. So we're going to do it in chronological order. We're going to start with Inter against Cagliari. That finished 1-1. It was a really, really disappointing result in the end for Antonio Conte's side. They took the lead through Lautaro Martinez, but Raja Nainggolan, of all people, got Cagliari's goal to, you know, really, really stunt their title challenge. And we're going to come on to talk about the other games afterwards, but there were some unsavory scenes at the end, wasn't there, Vittoria? The Inter players and the manager and everybody involved in the club was evidently angry with the match officials. And did they really have a right to be, in your opinion, or was it just frustration?
I think it was just frustration. And Lautaro Martinez got 2 matches of suspension, so he's going to miss the derby. The thing is, if you think in January, Inter won just 1 match against Napoli, and that match was thanks to the mistakes Napoli made in the 2 goals, in 2 of the 3 goals Inter scored. So you can see that in January, Inter drew against Atalanta, and Atalanta played much better and deserved to win. Drew against Lecce away, that it's a match that Inter should have won, and drew against Cagliari at home. And Cagliari is coming from a terrible form. They lost 5 matches in a row. So it wasn't expected to draw at home against Cagliari. And the problem is, Inter is not playing well. In January, Inter has been playing terribly. And yeah, you can see that they were quite nervous, but you have to understand it, right? They were top of the league 5 weeks ago, playing great football, favorite maybe for the Scudetto, and now things are going the wrong way. And the referee didn't as Andanovic said after the match, we didn't draw because of the referee. So it wasn't the fault of the referee. But when you're nervous, when you see things are not going your way, then you try to find an excuse, and they blame the referee, who didn't have nothing to do on that. So there's a big problem. Now we're going to see if with Eriksen things are going to change.
Yeah, of course. And that is a massive signing for Inter. And it's funny because on a Sunday morning, I was having a debate with a friend who's a Tottenham supporter. And I was making the point that Inter is a step up from Tottenham. It's a far bigger club with a much grander history, etc., etc. And as a kid growing up, you know, somebody like Christian Eriksen or most Europeans, I suppose, would look at Inter and say, yeah, that's where I'd want to be out of the two. And I actually said to him, it will be just my luck now that Inter will go and slip up against Cagliari. And there you go. There it was. Of course, Nainggolan got the goal, and he's somebody who didn't have the greatest time at Inter. How's he been getting on for Cagliari this season? Because it seems like, to those who maybe are not as attached to Serie A, that he's kind of disappeared a little bit off the radar. But in actual fact, he's had a pretty good season, hasn't he?
Well, obviously, moving from Inter to Cagliari, you fell out of the radar, right? You're not playing in a big team. But Cagliari had a terrific season so far. You know, they lost the last 5 matches, but before, they were fighting for the Champions League. And can you imagine Cagliari fighting for the Champions League? That was an unbelievable achievement. Now they are fighting for the Europa League. That would be an incredible result for Cagliari, because, you know, what was it, 15 years ago last time they played in the Europa League? So it's incredible results. And in part, thanks to Raja Nainggolan, who came back to Cagliari, he's playing a very positive season. Again, a little bit of ups and downs, but that's the player. But he's playing very well, much better than Inter. I think my bigger question is it because Nainggolan is made for playing this small teams, let's call it like that, with no offense to Cagliari, and he's not used to manage the pressure when you're working and you're living in a big town like Milan, in a big team like Inter, that they have to win. You know, it's mandatory. It's not like Cagliari that a win or reaching the Europa League, it's a big success. So maybe that's a question mark, but definitely Nainggolan is playing a great season.
Absolutely. And then later on, of course, on Sunday, we had the Rome derby, the Derby della Capitale between Roma and your team, Lazio, Vittorio. Roma took the lead through Edin Dzeko. It was a really poor piece of goalkeeping, in my opinion, from Strakosha, who I can see you've got his shirt in the background. I thought it was really, really disappointing to concede a goal in that fashion. But then there was an equally bit of disappointing goalkeeping at the other end. And that ultimately allowed Lazio back into the game. But let's be honest, and let's take, you know, if you take your Lazio hat off for a moment, I'm sure you can accept that Roma certainly had the better of the game, didn't they?
They dominated. You have to be honest and say that Roma played much better than Lazio in the derby. Honestly, it's hard to believe that Lazio got a point after that match, because it was nearly a no contest. And this is really surprising, because Lazio was coming from a streak of 11 match won. And Roma started the year not very well. They lost the first two matches at home. Yes, one was against Juventus, but the other one was against Torino, that is struggling. They won against Genoa away, so they weren't really in a great form. Instead, they dominated the derby. Fonseca decided to take a big risk, a big gamble, pressing very high Lazio, but it was the right choice to make, because Lazio struggling. Lazio wasn't able to play football like they did all the other matches. Luis Alberto wasn't playing great football. He wasn't 100% fit. Correa the same. And Roma dominated. The biggest question is, how can it be possible that Roma had so much ball possession, dominated that much, and at the end had five chances and scored only because Strakosha made a terrible mistake?
Yeah.
You know, that's a match that Roma should have won 3-1, 4-0. Instead, it was a 1-1. And yeah, it was positive to dominate against a good team like Lazio, but if you don't win this type of matches, then, you know, it's going to be difficult to win other type of matches. So, yeah, happy for Roma, but there are question marks there.
Absolutely. Before we come on to talk about Lazio in a little bit more depth, because it is important that we talk about Lazio, because they're having a good season. Simone Inzaghi probably doesn't get the credit he deserves, I would say, outside of Italy, for the job that he's done there. And, it, you know, in the time that he's been at the wheel, as they say here. But I mean, Roma under Fonseca, what have you made of them this season?
I like the manager. I really like. He took some gambles sometimes, because he played very similar to how Roma played against Lazio when Roma played against Inter a couple of months ago, and was probably one of the best performances of Roma this all season long. The funny thing is, Roma is playing very well away. I think they won all the last matches away, but they struggled to win at home, which is strange for a big team like Roma. So Fonseca has a little bit to adapt to Italian football, but it was a positive surprise. I think he's doing a decent job. The problem, I think, is Roma has some overrated player like Kluivert, like Pastore, like Cristante, players that cost so much money to the club and are not really world-class players. So, and to be honest, Roma had so many injuries this year that is simply unbelievable. But, you know, at the beginning of the season, everybody was thinking that Roma would fight for the Champions League. The top four team would have been Juventus, Inter, Roma and Napoli. And now there's Lazio Atalanta there instead of fighting for this position. So Roma is 7 points behind Lazio. The season is very long, but, you know, that's a surprising result. to be honest.
Absolutely. And as you said, that would have been the expectation for Roma, wouldn't it? To qualify for the Champions League. They're or thereabouts. They're in the mix in fourth place currently. You mentioned Atalanta there as well, who had an incredible result this weekend. We're going to come on to that as well. Napoli, we know all about their troubles this season, of course. It led to Carlo Ancelotti leaving. Gennaro Gattuso's in there now. We've spoken about him at length on previous episodes. But you know, they did get a good result as well this weekend, which we're going to come on to. Let's park that for a moment, because I want to talk to you about Simone Inzaghi. And I know this is your area of expertise as a Lazio man. If you don't already follow Vittorio on social media, please do so. You'll find his tag rolling across the bottom of your screen for those of you that are watching us on YouTube. And for those of you listening to the audio, you'll find it in the description. He's got a channel as well. Vittorio, let's talk about Simone Inzaghi, because realistically, and I know people are only talking about Juve and Inter as potential Scudetto winners, but Lazio are in there with a chance. You know, they're only 5 points off of Juventus at the top. They're crashing the party at the moment. Is this sustainable? Do you think that come the end of the season, they'll still be within sort of touching distance of those top two, or do you expect that gap to widen over the course of the season?
I don't think that Lazio can keep that position, can be close to Inter Juventus at least. At the moment, you have to remember that Lazio has a match on hand. They have to play against Verona next week, so they could close the gap with Inter. But as we were saying before, Inter bought Eriksen. They bought other players already this winter. They bought Lukaku last summer. Sanchez.
Ashley Young's come in as well. Ashley Young's come in.
Yeah, Young is playing. He made the assist last Sunday. So Lazio said he's not buying nobody. There's question mark on some players. So I think Inzaghi is doing an incredible thing, an incredible job. Lazio has quality players. So the thing is, the starting 11 of Lazio is the same level of Juventus, Inter, can beat any team. The problem is, when one or two players are missing, then the substitution are not at the same level of Juventus, Inter, Roma as well, or Napoli. So, you know, the Serie A is a marathon. It's not... So you have to think that you're going to have to play matches without the top starting 11. People get disqualified, get injured, etc. And this is the weaknesses of Lazio. Not all the substitution are high level. So this tells you that Inzaghi have done an incredible job. The team, it's like a family. They call them the family because they're all helping each other. And even though the team is not unbelievable, they're doing incredible results. Lazio beat Juventus twice this season, right? And before Sunday, it was the only team to beat Juventus this year. So this is an unbelievable achievement. I think Lazio can arrive third at the end of the year, but I don't think that Lazio can really fight for the Scudetto.
Do you think there'll come a time in the near future where one of the, and I don't mean this disrespectfully to Lazio, but one of the bigger clubs in Italy or indeed elsewhere will come in and say, right, it's time to take Simone Inzaghi on board. He is someone that can go up to that next level.
Well, there were a lot of rumors that this summer he could move to Juventus or AC Milan. To be honest, and no offense to Milan fan, at the moment, Milan is a downgrade to Lazio, and we see it even in the table. But, you know, maybe this summer was too early. I think Inzaghi is learning. He's still a very young manager. This is the fourth season that he's a professional manager. So I think he still can improve, but he's really good. He's really good. Now, the biggest question mark is he going to be able to perform this well away from Rome? Because let's not forget, he's 20 years that he's in Rome, because he signed for Lazio as a player in 1999. He won the Scudetto for Lazio. He played there for 10 years. He retired and did all the academy of Lazio, you know, since the 12 years old team till the Primavera and then to the first squad. So he knows Rome very well. He knows Lazio fan very well. Very well. The question mark is he going to be able to replicate his success, I don't know, in a town that he doesn't know, in a team that he's not, you know, very well known there?
Yeah, absolutely. It certainly, you know, could play a part. It's a club that, like you said, he knows very well. It's the town and the city, I should say, and the people are very familiar to him. And of course, having that environment makes you, you know, naturally more comfortable. And I think that will have, of course, no doubt played a part. It's almost the perfect first job, wasn't it, for Simone Inzaghi, in terms of a job that has quite a high profile. He couldn't have asked for a better place to start than the club that he knows, with the people that he knows, in the city that he knows. So that's really, really helped.
Yes, and you have to add that Lazio has four quality players that can really make you win every single match. Ciro Mobile, top scorer in Italy, he's astonishing. Tucu Correa, very good Argentinian attacker. Luis Alberto, top assist in Europe. And Milinkovic Savic, that could become the best midfielder in Europe. So, you know, you play with a good team with these four players that can really start in every team in Europe. So, you know, this is a big advantage. The question mark would be, are they going to stay long time for Lazio, or they're going to be sold next summer, etc.? Because if Lazio gets to the Champions League, then you have to buy quality players to replace them if they leave.
Absolutely. And of course, like you said, Lazio do have a game in hand, an opportunity to leapfrog up past Inter into second place, and that would close the gap on Juventus to just 2 points. So although they may not sustain it, and that is up for debate, of course, it just feels like, you know, they deserve the credit because they are in the mix. Let's move on to Sunday's last game, and it was the late game between Napoli and Juventus, a packed San Paolo, and you know that the San Paolo is packed when the bottom tier has people in it. That's how you can always tell whether it's a big game or not at the San Paolo. So there was people there. The crowd is always hostile. There's a big rivalry, isn't there, between Napoli and Juventus, and it's not just football, it's political as well, from what I understand. So that was always going to add some spice to the game. Gattuso, known for getting his teams up for games and, you know, very hard working, etc., etc. And Napoli stuck at it, and eventually they got their reward, didn't they? Because they opened the scoring through Zielinski. They got a second through Lorenzo Insigne around about 4 minutes from time. Cristiano Ronaldo made it a little bit nervy going into stoppage time, but you know, Juventus weren't really at the races, were they? And Napoli took advantage of that.
Yeah, Juventus with Sarri is not playing as expected. Even in January, they are winning matches because they won before, but not playing great football. And against Napoli, I was thinking, because as you were saying, Inter-Cagliari was lunchtime match. So when Juventus played Napoli, they knew that Inter got the draw at home. And so beating Napoli would have been increased the gap and virtually closing the league, because, you know, 7 points ahead, it's tough to recover against Juventus. So I was expecting, you know, Juventus playing with the eye of the tiger, trying to close the match and get these three very, very important points. Instead, it was probably the worst match of Juventus in this year, in January. Juventus never seemed controlling the match. They looked like they didn't care, which was surprising. We said Napoli was not playing great football. With Gattuso, the last weeks, Napoli improved a lot, but still, they weren't playing great football, and still, they were able to win, and Napoli really deserved to win, because you were saying Cristiano Ronaldo. Yes, that was probably the only chance Juventus had in the full match, so it was really surprising to see Juventus playing so bad against a team like Napoli that has big potential, but didn't show it up this season. So, it was for me a big surprise, because usually we see Juventus when they have the chance, they take it. So they had the big chance to send a big message to Inter, you know, widening and go to 7 points ahead. Instead, they didn't take it. So I think that the team is struggling to understand what Sarri wants, how Sarri wants to play football, because they do it sometimes 10, 20 minutes a match, and then they play rubbish all the rest. So yeah, it's not a nice situation for Juventus.
Absolutely. It was a missed opportunity. And whilst, you know, Antonio Conte and Simone Inzaghi would have been sitting there over the moon, actually, that Napoli managed to take all 3 points off Juve, it did come as a surprise, because there's been this sort of feeling with Juventus over the last few years where they've been dominating the division, that even in the games where they don't play particularly well, that they're going to get that one chance, they're going to get that their moment, and they're going to take it more often than not. But this time it was Napoli who got their moment, and they took it, and they took both opportunities. Question marks over whether Wojciech Szczęsny should have done better with the initial shot.
Yeah,
he's parried it into the path of Zielinski, I suppose. But in fairness to him, the defenders were just completely unaware of the Napoli attacker lurking there, and that's inexcusable for me. Maurizio Sarri and Gonzalo Higuain, of course, both going back to the San Paolo, both former sons of Napoli, but you know they're always going to get that hot reception, weren't they? Were you surprised by the level of not abuse? I don't want to use the word abuse, but the level of aggression towards Maurizio Sarri in particular?
No, I wouldn't. And to be honest, Higuain had worse 2 years ago when he came back for the first time to Napoli. The surprise is every time Higuain plays against Napoli, he scores. So this was, I think, the first time he didn't. Maurizio Sarri is, you know, the leader of Napoli that suddenly switch and go to your enemy, Juventus. So I can understand the fan. It's funny that after the match, Maurizio Sarri said, "You know, I'm not happy because we lost, but at least losing against Napoli makes things lighter for me because Napoli will always be my town, etc., etc. I know these guys. I love the fans, etc." So it was funny to see his reaction after what the fans, Napoli fans, did to him during the match.
But isn't it different though, Vittorio? Because from Gonzalo Higuain's point, of course, he went directly, didn't he, from Napoli to Juventus. Maurizio Sarri went to Chelsea and then came back. Should that not have maybe softened the blow a little bit? Or is the rivalry, you know, you'll be able to tell us, is it that heated that it doesn't matter? If you're Napoli once, you're Napoli forever, and to join Juventus is just unthinkable.
Yeah, I mean, I think the you can say it's like Leeds United and Manchester United fan, right? Leeds United used to hate Manchester United. Manchester United fans are more focused on Liverpool and other club. This is a little bit between Napoli and Juventus, right? Juventus rivalry, it's against Inter most than Napoli. But Napoli fans hate Juventus. If you know, they're still complaining about Omar Sivori that switched 30 years ago from Napoli to Juventus. So they will never forget this thing, especially because Napoli has born, Sarri was born in Napoli, have been the manager of Napoli. When he was in Napoli, he was complaining about Juventus. And so the fans love him for what he said. And now seeing being the manager of Napoli, they are really upset. But the problem is, the real problem is the owner of Napoli, because it's De Laurentiis' fault if Higuain have left, if Cavani have left, if Sarri have left, and they didn't win. It's the owner to blame for, because, you know, he started a fight with Higuain first, then the year afterwards with Sarri. So people leave because, you know, they don't have to stay at Napoli. They can have other option, even better, you know. And so, yeah, I wouldn't blame Sarri, but the fans, yeah, they feel like they have been betrayed.
Yeah, understandable given the rivalry between the two sides. So, of course, Juventus missed out on the opportunity to extend their lead at the top, which means Inter and Lazio are still in with a shout. Of course, Roma remain in fourth. Now, another standout result from this weekend, and one that when I saw it on my phone, because I didn't watch this game live, I've since seen the highlights, but when I saw this on my phone and I saw the score, Torino 0, Atalanta 7, I couldn't believe my eyes, because Walter Mazzarri is a manager that prides himself on being strong defensively, on keeping clean sheets. He would have been absolutely furious to see his side concede 7, wouldn't he?
Yes, absolutely. But you have to say two things. Atalanta is playing amazing football. They should have won even against Inter a couple of weeks ago. And second, I fear that, you know, football evolves continuously. Mazzarri was 10 years ago a great manager, very defensive manager. But I think football have evolved. It's becoming more and more offensive football. And Mazzarri didn't keep up with this evolution. And now even his defensive ability are not enough. And this is why Atalanta destroyed Torino. I think this could be the end of Walter Mazzarri. I don't know if he's going to be... He's still on the bench of Torino. We're going to see what happens in the future. But I think this is going to be the his last big club, because he have proved that football passing by, right? He's too behind. He's too dependent to be in this modern type of football. So you can see Torino struggling. Torino has a good team. You know, Sirigu is a very good goalkeeper. Belotti is a top striker. De Silvestri is a good... They have a lot of good players, but they don't play absolutely good football. And they lose a lot of match, allowing a lot of goals. So, yeah, absolutely. I think Mazzarri won't finish the season at Torino.
Absolutely. And when you look at the league table, they've lost 10 of their 27 games this season. They've won just 8, drawn 3, 4, 26 goals, but conceded 35. And just scrolling through that quickly, I think only Sassuolo, Lecce, Brescia and Genoa have conceded more than Torino, and that is been a real problem for them. Currently in 10th place, which is not ideal, like you said, for a club of that size, A, and B, for a club with such a talented squad. It's just not simply not on. Vittorio, let's talk a little bit about AC Milan. They, of course, won at the weekend. They played the Friday night game. They picked up a 1-0 win at Brescia. Rebic with the goal. For the fans that are listening to this from the UK, which is, of course, most of our listenership, Piontek is being linked with a move away, isn't he? And Tottenham are one of the clubs that are said to be interested in him. But he hasn't really managed to replicate the form, has he, that he showed when he initially signed for the club. Is that down to Piontek not being at the level that he was, or is that down to the team? And is it unfair to therefore say that Piontek's level as an individual has dropped?
That's a good question. I think somewhere in between. I mean, last year, Piontek was scoring every chance he had. You know, in Italy, you say he was scoring even while he was sleeping. to tell you, you know, when you are in luck, you can score from everywhere, every occasion, etc. That's what happened last year. This year, things are back to normal, and you can see that Piontek, it's a decent striker. It's not a striker for a top team. Obviously, Milan is not playing great football, even though in the last 4 or 5 matches, things have changed. Pioli finally was able to make Milan play a decent football. Now with Ibrahimovic, things are much better. I think one of the biggest reasons why Milan is start playing well is because Souza is not playing anymore. He was terrible. And so since he has been benched, Milan start winning. I don't think that's a coincidence. So to be honest, I was really surprised to see Piontek linked to Tottenham. Probably as a sub, he can be... A good signing, but he wants to play because otherwise he's going to miss the Euros. So yeah. I don't know if it's really interesting to go in a team where he's not going to play. But yeah, we said it last year, right? We said that paying 35 million euros for a player who have proved only 6 months to be a good player, because he played only 6 months at Genoa, it was a huge risk. Let's not forget that Milan last January spent 70 million euros and signed Piontek and Paqueta. Both are not playing anymore. And now they're trying to place them somewhere. And this proves you like the transfer market of Milan has been terrible. And now they're trying to catch up. Obviously, now with Ibra, things are a little bit better. But, you know, Ibra is not getting younger. He's 38.
Exactly.
So, and Milan is not a team in a winning now mode. They're building up to maybe win in a couple of years. So is Ibra the right player? I don't know. He's helping, obviously, but yeah, I wouldn't like Piontek, honestly.
Yeah, I think that I think Tottenham have got a little bit of a problem because whoever they bring in has to accept that they're going to be second to Harry Kane. And as a striker, you know, you don't want to do that. You don't want to join a club knowing that you're not going to play much football. Just to finish off on Milan, of course, they're currently in seventh place, level on points with Parma in sixth. But there's a massive 7-point gap between those two and Atalanta, who are currently in fifth place. Now, just to wrap it up, going to run you through the rest of those results from the weekend. Fiorentina 0, Genoa 0, Parma 2, Udinese 0, Sampdoria 0, Sassuolo 0, Spal 1, Bologna 3, Verona 3, Lecce 0. That wraps up our roundup of this week's action from Serie A, but we'll be back next week with more, and we promise you that we're going to be bringing you more regular shows. And I have to hold my hands up because it's been my fault that Simply Serie A has sort of fallen off of a cliff in the last few months. So I do apologize. It's purely been down to work being so busy. But it is a league that we all love, and it's a league that we always keep up to date with, and we'll be bringing you more coverage of it this season. And my thanks to Vittorio for joining me once again, as always, providing a level of insight way beyond anything I could provide you with in regards to Italian football. So Vittorio, thank you. How can people check out your channel as well?
It's my pleasure to join you every time. You know, I like to talk about Serie A. Well, my Twitter account, Vittorio Campa, you have the link below, so you can follow me there for every article or video I publish.
Brilliant stuff. And please, please make sure you do that. We'll be back very soon with some more. Next week, to be specific, we'll bring you another Serie A show. So until then, take care. Hope you've enjoyed your fix. And don't forget to subscribe and like. And we'll be back next time. Ciao.